Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine because we are starting. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Live Free Podcast. Today, I am chatting with Craig Cannings, who is the co-founder of Freelance University, and we're talking about what freelancing looks like in 2021 and how its at-home freelance opportunities have grown over the last year. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michaela. It's great. Great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited you're here, and I'm so excited to dive in and just kind of talk freelance shop with another freelance, you know, industry leader to kind of join forces and discuss what we're seeing. Because while we are both in the same, you know, industry and we both have programs and resources to help freelancers, the more that we come together, you know, as a community and you know, just work together to get the message out there, the better my students are, your students are, and everyone out there who totally needs to be taking advantage of the freelance opportunities out there.
Absolutely. By the way, I love your podcast name, Live Free, because it's really sort of a mantra of what we teach our freelancers about living a life of freedom that would be different than maybe what they had in corporate America or other places. And so I'm down with your podcast name.
Yay. Thanks so much. Well, before we dive into talking all about freedom and freelancing and all the fun, exciting things that are happening in this industry, I'd love to just hear more about your story and how you like found the freelance space and the quick and long story of how you got started doing what you do now.
Yeah. So we actually started freelancing around 2003. So this is going back about 18 plus years ago. And my wife actually started first. I didn't know what she was doing. My background is in professional counseling. So I was counseling. And so I really deviated a bit from what I was trained to do. But she started with an online company providing customer support. And I still didn't understand what she did. And then I was presented with an opportunity to leave what I was doing to join a software development company providing, you know, all sorts of services. I was doing marketing, affiliate marketing, business development, stuff that I'd never done before. But we were all freelancing to this company. There was about four of us. And then in a span of 2 years, it went from 4 to 40 because the company grew really quick. And I was tasked with the job of training all these new freelancers on our systems and onboarding them all. And I actually loved it. I loved creating like checklists and manuals and videos. And I realized I had a bit of a knack for teaching. And so that sort of led to us launching Freelance University in 2008 because we realized, hey, if a company like ours is being completely powered by freelancers, we don't actually have an employee in the company. There's about 50 of us. Maybe this is a trend for other companies that will need trained freelancers to help them grow their companies. And we kind of hit the nail on the head, even though in the early days, people didn't know what we were doing. Fast forward to 2021, we're now seeing a rapidly growing freelance economy. And suddenly what we offer is as relevant as it's ever been. I think the thing for us also, Michaela, is that there wasn't any training back in the day. There was no training on how to be a freelancer. There were no blogs. There were no videos. And so we felt like we were meeting a need back then for people to get trained and equipped and get support, get community with like-minded people that could help them grow freelance businesses. And so that's where we felt that we could kind of find a gap in the market. And that's really what we're still doing today.
Yeah, that is so awesome. And I didn't start freelancing until 2015, 2016, though, was when I had my first client. And even back then, though, like trying to navigate Google and figuring out, like I knew what I wanted and it was exactly what freelancing provided while I was, you know, teaching and like banging my head,
trying to figure out a different way to work, be there for my family, and really create a life that I wanted to live. And even in 2015, 2016, it was so hard to find resources and navigate, okay, like what is a real opportunity versus what is get rich quick with the whole internet marketing world and all the different opportunities.
I was going to say, I think that, you know, in 2015, 16, there were so many new opportunities that were emerging. And so suddenly you're lost in a sea of like, what should I do? And even though there were some resources out there, maybe not to the degree of, you know, even what we see now in 2021. So there's a great need for freelancers to have community, because we can't do it alone. Even though we're technically solopreneurs, you know, entrepreneurs weren't designed to function in isolation. You know, you need community. And that's why there's places like what you have and what we have to help them along the way.
Yeah. So what have you guys seen change in the freelance industry over this last year?
Oh, goodness. I mean, that's like, we could talk for hours on that one.
Yeah.
It's been a very hard, I want to preface that by saying it's been a hard year. Mm-hmm. It's been a hard year emotionally, economically, on every level, people have struggled. And those that are listening, you may have had real struggles that none of us can relate to you. So I want to preface that by saying it's been a tough year, and yet freelancing has flourished and grown more than ever before, predominantly because, you know, our whole work world returned home. And aside from the essential services and those that required to work outside, that were necessary to work outside the home, we had this massive remote work movement happen by necessity. And people were learning for the first time what it's like to run a company remotely, virtually, mm-hmm. you know, using Zoom and virtual team tools and all sorts of things that they never thought they would do before. And so now what we've seen, and I think it was like the stat that came from Forbes, that 41% of companies that traditionally were in-house will consider working with freelancers or staying remote in the years to come because it worked. They actually mm-hmm. said, you know, I can have a staff that's outside my office and we could still get stuff done. We could still grow our business. And so the idea of now working with independent freelancers virtually that are in a different state, different country, is not such a big leap now because, you know, COVID kind of bridged that gap with this big remote work movement. And so, mm-hmm. so that has paved the way to more opportunities. And so the freelance movement's growing also because companies couldn't continue to do business the same way as before. There were companies that were, let's say, a spa that they suddenly couldn't take customers in-house. And now they're starting to sell their spa products through an e-commerce shop. And they have no idea how to set up the e-commerce shop. And so suddenly they need a freelancer to help them set up their store. They need a freelancer to help them with social media. So COVID created problems that were only solved by sort of independent freelancers. And that mm-hmm. became an incredible opportunity. And so it was interesting. If you watch the news during COVID, and it would always seem bad, you know, like the cases were rising. And then I would go to our community at our university and I would listen to the stories of what's happening. And it was like, we were in a bubble. It was like, I just added 3 new clients this week. And oh, I just increased my retainer. And so you'd hear all these great stories, not to say everyone was riding that wave, but a lot of our students were, and they still are, as we move into 2021. So it's exciting to be serving the freelance audience right now, even in the midst of a tough time.
Yeah. Where are a majority of your students landing clients? What kind of avenues are they taking to connect with those businesses, those companies that are hiring?
Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think there's a few ways because obviously in-person networking has kind of been shelved mm-hmm. for the time being in most yeah. areas of the world. I mean, it might be different for some that are opening up a little bit. And so the opportunity to meet people at conferences or local meetup groups, that was put to the side. And so we've seen a few different things that our students have done well. I mean, the first of all, Facebook groups. So joining mm-hmm. Facebook groups where your target audience hangs out has been really good. Like joining yeah. the conversation, adding value, connecting with people, and then taking the conversation outside the group to making a LinkedIn connection or friending them on Facebook. And then maybe that moves to a discovery call where you're now in a one-to-one Zoom meeting talking a bit mm-hmm. about your business. And so Facebook groups have been great. We've seen people joining LinkedIn, even Zoom networking groups. So they'll mm-hmm. be with a group of people that are networking on Zoom. And I didn't think that actually would work really well, although we've heard many students that said, hey, I met a couple people there. We then took it to another Zoom room for another meeting down the road, and that led to a client. And so people are looking, they're using Zoom, they're using Facebook groups, and they're even tapping into their network. And we encourage mm-hmm. our students to look at your friends, your family, past coworkers, people that you know, and message them. Let them know that you're open for business. And I had one student that I interviewed recently that said she had 95 contacts that were in her personal network. And she sent out a personalized message to all 95, and she landed 2 new clients.
Yeah.
That weren't those people. It was like somebody that knew somebody.
Yes, 100%.
So referrals has been a big way that they've been just getting business as well.
And that's, I love that you say that, because that's something I talk about too with my students in our community. And one gal I know specifically, I did an interview with her too, and she was just a super go-getter. She was older than the average person in our community. She's been a stay-at-home mom for like the last 15 years, but she dove in. Like her background was in administrative, executive assistant, like in-person type roles. Mm-hmm. And she sent an email out to her, same thing, like her personal network, and landed 2 or 3 clients that way, as like so fast too. And I encourage everyone, if you are sitting there wanting to freelance, you have a service that you're going to offer, but you're like, who's going to hire me? Look at your personal network. And some people will say, okay, fine, I'll look at my personal network. They'll make their list and they'll be like, I don't know. None of these people have businesses. These are the only people I know, and none of them have businesses. But it's not only about who you know. It's about who you know who knows someone. Mm-hmm. And just that initial message, that initial outreach message, kind of just informative, like, hey, just want to, you know, like, this is what I'm doing. It doesn't have to be a, hey, do you want to hire me? It can be a, you wouldn't happen to know anyone hiring a, you know, fill in the blank for whatever services you're offering, question mark. Mm-hmm. And they can respond like, no, I don't. Or, oh my God, actually I do. And even if they say no, okay, awesome. No worries. If you ever, if you hear of anyone or anyone comes up, I'd love to be top of mind referral. Mm. And you say that, and you never know, like a week later, they could be walking the dog, run into the neighbor who's like, oh man, business is booming. We're in a construction landscaping industry. And the admin stuff I can't keep up with. And they're like, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what can happen when you just start telling people what you're doing.
It's so true. And it really works. You know, we teach our students what we call the 3 P's, like three circles of influence you have when it comes to referrals. The first one is personal. So it is the friends, the family, the people that you know. Because, you know, even Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called not Outliers, Tipping Point, where he mm-hmm. talked about the connector.
I taught Outliers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the person that the connector is somebody that knows a lot of people. So you, mm-hmm. the chances are in your family, you may have a connector that happens to know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then the second P we talk about is professional. So it's like all of the past past clients is like a definite one you want to target, but even past work colleagues, you know, anyone that you've worked with professionally. And then the third P we talk about is prospect. So it's like, this is where you go into like your dream client. Like who would be the ideal client that I would love to work with? Who are they? You profile them and then you research them and then you start to build your list through LinkedIn or other places saying, these are 50 life coaches that I would like to be supporting or 50 women entrepreneurs that would benefit from my social media management services or whatever you're offering. So that's kind of gets into the prospect where you kind of go after your prospects by offering value, connecting with them, not pounding them over the head with marketing messages, but getting into their world with an opportunity to connect with them. So
yeah, finding a way to where they're hanging out and build that relationship with them. So I love the way you kind of broke that down, the three different P's. I feel like a lot of times people will just jump straight to the prospect because it's, I don't know, for some reason, if you see this in your community, but my experience, it was way easier to focus on the prospect because they didn't really know me. And so I wasn't putting myself out there and telling like friends and family in case like, oh, what if this doesn't work out? Or what if I change my mind? Because when I started freelancing, like a lot of women that I work with, it wasn't our first thing. It wasn't our first try at like starting a business. I failed a bow business. I failed a baking business. And
yes.
Like when I was like, okay, I'm going to do another thing. It wasn't that far after like I opened the bow business and shut it. And I was just like in my head, in my own mind being like, oh my God, I'm going to tell people I start something new and their eyes are going to roll. And it's going to be like, here she goes again, which maybe some people would have thought that, but who cares? But I know I could have landed clients much faster had I focused on reaching out to people I knew and tapping into that personal and professional network than just focusing on new people.
Most definitely. And I think the caveat there is that you want to reach out to people that are your safe people. Like, because you could reach out to your Uncle Bob, let's say, that knows nothing about online, thinks you're crazy to be working from home. And so that's not going to boost your self-esteem to go contact people that think you're crazy for what you're doing already. It's like looking at the people that maybe they have an entrepreneurial background or maybe they're, you know, that they run in different circles where they will be connected with people and that they ultimately will support you. So yeah, I can understand those of you listening. You probably have told people in your world that you're starting freelancing and they're like, well, what is that? Like, why would you do that? Although it's much different than 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah, it is, especially now. But even when I was starting in 2015, 2016, my family could not understand what I did. And when I quit teaching and my dad would be like, so-and-so asked me what you're doing now. And I like, what do I tell them? I don't know how to tell them what you're doing. And then it threw everyone for a loop when I switched from freelancing to online courses. They're like, what are you doing now? I'm like, oh gosh, guys, let me draw you a picture of a sales funnel and how online business works. And it's just funny.
I've so been there, Michaela, with my family years ago. I have a great family, great parents, but when I left my established career as a professional counselor to go into the online space, it was like, it was difficult for them. And you know what, even now, 15 years, I mean, I've been full-time 15 years, you know, doing well and still they're just, you know, they're kind of like maybe expecting the ball will drop and I'll go back to a real job one day. But
would you ever consider that?
Never.
Never.
Well, it's like the name of your podcast. Like it's, you know, so we went online, you know, 15, 16 years ago and my oldest just started college. So her first year college, which is kind of crazy to be doing college during COVID. It's not been a lot of fun for her, but from all of her life or like her memory, because, you know, 3 and 4, I mean, I guess some 3-year-olds remember some memories, but she doesn't really remember me and Kelly ever working outside the home. Like there's never been the frame of reference and our other kids as well. So they literally for years didn't understand why their friends' parents would go to a job. It was just like, so we've wrecked them permanently because they're just like, well, it's normal to be entrepreneurial. It's normal to work from home. It's normal to go on your kids' field trips during the day and stay up late to get your work done. Instead, you know, that's when we talk about living free. It was freedom to spend more time and invest in my kids, which I so appreciate now that my oldest is 19 and moving into a different world where you just appreciate that we had more time with her because we were at home and we had this flexible life.
So what has your definition of like living free or creating like your ideal life evolved through the years, through the stages? I'd love to kind of hear what it looked like, you know, when you guys first started to maybe if it looks the exact same now, or has it changed in any way?
It has changed. So we have all, except for our youngest is 12, basically all, and I have five daughters, almost all teenage girls, four out of five. So it's an interesting dynamic. But when we started early on, we had toddlers, we had infants, you know, and so it would be, it was
I'm in those days right now.
Yeah. You're in that, you're in those days. And so it was very, Kelly and I had to be very strategic. It wasn't like you just throw yourself into the day. You had to figure out, okay, we know that our kids had certain nap times and they had their play times and their TV times and all these things. And when those things were happening, work was getting done as best as possible without like meltdowns or issues that emerge. But we were very scheduled and we were constantly, because we were parenting together, we're running a business together, there had to be sort of this give and take where we are like, this is your time. You're focusing on this. I've got the kids here. Now I'm handing the baton. You've got the kids. I'm doing this. And then we recognized that, you know, we wanted to get our kids on a steady sleep schedule so that they weren't up in the middle of the night because we were probably going to be working later into the night. So that was the early days, is just trying to figure out time blocking and scheduling any minute that we could get some work done. Because sometimes when you're a young parent or mom or dad, it's the time is shorter. And so you've got to be really efficient with how you use your time. You know, I was on webinars all the time and we would have a little sign that we'd put on the door for our little toddler saying, you know, when the blue sign is on the door, you just don't come in. It was like Pavlov's dog. We were like, we were like conditioning them. You don't come in when the doors, and you know, 90% of the time it was good. So we put all these systems in place, but when the kids got older, they were so used to us working at home and learning to respect that this was our business. And we kind of reinforced that with them that now as teenagers, they're great. I mean, they're independent. They recognize that most of the time that we have a schedule, that we have had to reinforce that, yes, mom and dad do have a job. No, we don't go to the office like your friends, but you got to recognize that this is our work time. Yeah. And so, yeah, so them learning that and conditioning that there is a work time, and then we will invest lots of time in you, you know that, but respect our time too.
Yeah.
Like family rules, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool. So your daughter's in college. Does she have dreams, hopes to, you know, start her own business? Or is she, I'm so curious of what it looks like of these kids that grow up with their parents having that complete control of their job, of their career, and what that looks like, whether, you know, you work a little bit early in the morning, you work a little bit at nap time, and then you work, you know, a 3-hour chunk once everyone's in bed. I'm just really curious to see like what that looks like for kids of those families. Cause my daughter, I mean, same, I started my home business being at home when she was 1.5, just over 1. And I was home by the time she was 2 completely. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, like, what am I in for? And
well, it's interesting because a lot of parents homeschooled during COVID, and we were homeschooling prior to that. And so years ago, we made a move and our girls couldn't get into the school that we wanted them to get into. So we thought we'd homeschool them for half a year. 5-6 years later, we did realize, hey, we like this. And Kelly was the lead teacher and we had their teachers online that were working with them. So our kids were homeschooling, and our oldest really, and I don't know if it's osmosis, I don't know if it's just watching and observing us, is super entrepreneurial. She's probably more entrepreneurial than I was. You know, I had to learn. I didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial home. And so she has. And so she's got this flourishing photography business like this year. So she's 19 and she's booked 16 weddings.
Wow. That she's doing
this summer, and she's in college full time. And so her and I actually had a chance to speak at a conference about a year ago, and it was a homeschooling conference. And we got to speak on entrepreneurship among children, you know, the growth of entrepreneurship. And so I'm a big proponent of our kids pursuing their dreams and their path. But another child has a clay jewelry business that is doing really well on Etsy. And again, I think it's learning. We've taught them to be creative, think outside the box. And if that means a job down the road that they're doing something creative, that's great. If it means that they have their own business, but for sure they've learned some entrepreneurial sort of habits
that
I see rubbing off on them. So, but I'm not the one that's saying you must be an entrepreneur or else. I want them to pursue their goals and their dreams. But if they can be their own boss and be successful and thrive at that, then that's great too.
And especially if they're like fulfilling a passion or what they're good at, what they truly love, if they're able to combine that with a way to make money, make living, that's huge. That's amazing.
Well, it's even cool to see. We've always said, you know, we will pay for half your education because we want our kids to, if they invest in their education, we feel that there'll be more buy-in. At least that was my experience. Mm-hmm. And so with the work she's doing, I mean, she's like fully funded her education for the next year just through her entrepreneurial pursuits. And so it's really, it's cool to see. And I think with homeschooling, she learned to think independently and think critically and some of those sort of characteristics that we need to run our own business from home as well. So it's kind of been a cool journey to watch her on.
Yeah, that is so cool. I'm excited to see, you know, if any of my kids pick that up or maybe if they follow after their dad and do the attorney thing or grandma and be a teacher. My daughter loves playing school right now, but with the online world, there's different ways to be teachers besides just in a traditional classroom. Well, back to freelancing. So what are you kind of seeing? We kind of talked about how things have changed. Mm-hmm. In this last year, what are you seeing a demand for in the freelance space? Is there anything like any services that you've seen in your community that are like, this is a huge need? We're seeing tons of requests for this type of work or, you know, any service that stands out or like trends we should know about in that world?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. It's really interesting right now, actually, because some of the areas that are hot, if you want to call it niches that are hot, weren't necessarily 12 months ago before COVID. And so let me give you a few ideas. And those that are tuning in, you know, you might listen to these and think, you know, is this something that I'd be interested in? Is this something that would complement my skill sets and who I am and how I'm wired? And so the first one I would say is sort of that digital marketing space. So if you have skills in social media, you've got skills in email marketing, you have skills in search engine optimization, businesses need that. I mean, it's to manage somebody's digital marketing activities, it's a lot of work for a business owner. And so if you have those skill sets, that translates to a lot of work. So there's a lot of people that are needing support on optimizing their content with keywords for the search engines, or they need you to take Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and just sort of manage the content for them and get it out there, you know, in social media. And then under that umbrella is ads. So a big service that a lot of our students have started offering and they're doing really well in is Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you go into the platform of Facebook ads and it feels like it's like you're in a rocket ship. Like it's just like it's rocket science. And so entrepreneurs need help managing ads. So digital marketing is a great one right now. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that you can niche down into different areas. You might just focus on ads. You might just focus on SEO. You might just be setting up email newsletters and sequences through ConvertKit or platforms like that. So you could find your lane just within digital marketing. The second area I would say is e-commerce. So we saw a lot of businesses that needed to ramp up their e-commerce efforts because their physical stores were closing. And suddenly Shopify and WooCommerce and some of these e-commerce platforms became a big deal. And so we've had students pivot, take our courses in Shopify and, you know, learn to set up stores for new clients. And so that's the setup process, managing their customer fulfillment and their customer service and orders. There's a lot of sort of day-to-day work that would happen in an e-commerce company. So that area is growing a lot. And I see no shortage of opportunities there. And then in places like you and I, where, you know, course creation, you know, the amount of digital consumption of course or consumption of digital courses in the last year grew exponentially. More people are tapping into online education than ever before. And so you're seeing people in every niche and every vertical you could possibly imagine come out with online courses and fitness, and health, and nutrition, and
dog training, horseback riding, gardening. There's a course for everything. Anything you want to learn, you can find it online, as well as like kid classes. And so like a lot of kids aren't in school anymore. They're at home. So they're not getting the specials or the, that's what they call them here. I don't know if they call them that everywhere, like the PE, the art, the music, kind of stuff. There's now Zoom classes, specialized classes like art, music, virtual for kids online. And it's so cool.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's interesting. friends of mine that have started businesses in the last year or two that I know have all specialized in online courses in different areas. And for those that are tuning in, I mean, if you have a passion area where you're like, I'd love to package what I know or my what I'm really good at in all these areas that Michaela was mentioning or others that I could turn into online courses. I mean, I'm biased, but we've built a really good business selling online courses, and you could do it in any vertical. But on the freelance side, a lot of entrepreneurs need help with tools like Kajabi or Thinkific or Teachable, because there's one thing to set up the course or design it, and there's another thing to set up the platform and the landing pages and the course pages and get the PDFs and videos uploaded. And so some of our students have done really well specializing in course creators. They are Kajabi experts for course creators. So that's been a really cool growth area that we've seen in the last few months here as well. And then even like if you were to Google virtual assistant right now, about 50% of the listings on the first page will be like artificial intelligence. Like a virtual assistant is like is a bot. It's not a real person. And then 50% will be related to the human VA industry. And even though, yes, we're seeing everyone have a bot right now and a non-human virtual assistant, we've also seen major growth in VAs. Like people are recognizing, wow, I don't need to have an office person in-house anymore. I can hire them virtually and they can provide back-end office support for me. And so even the VA industry, and that could be customer service under that umbrella, that could be bookkeeping under that area, like lots of different administrative financial management services are in demand right now as well. So those are a few of probably many, and there's probably many others we could talk about.
Yeah, those are some of the same ones. And I think that sums up just about though all of the, I mean, when you talk about digital marketing and then you look at e-commerce and then you look at online course creation and virtual assistant, there's demand for everything. Like if you look at businesses, they need everything to survive and thrive. They need the digital marketing. They need the copywriting. They need the admin support. They need the course, like paid content that people are buying or, you know, the products, whatever it is. They need everything to be successful. And
absolutely.
So no matter what, like your skill set is, your background is, who you want to work with, there's businesses out there that are looking to hire.
Most definitely.
And need you. Mm-hmm. So as we kind of wrap up today, I'm wondering if you have any like lessons learned or tips that you could share for those in the audience that are just starting out. Because I mean, you've been doing this since 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you're looking to freelance today, and this is an area of interest for you, I'm a big proponent of you niching down or specializing. So find your thing. And it doesn't mean it has to be just one thing, like I'm only offering Instagram marketing services. I mean, you might broaden that a little bit and start offering ads support or, you know, different things. But whatever it is, find your specialization. And it might even be a specialization in audience. So you might say, I'm offering the broad scope of digital marketing services, but I only work with mompreneurs like Michaela. That's the only audience that I target. And that's my copies built around that, my marketing, my audience that I reach out to. That's all I do. When you specialize, you tend to be able to charge more. You make yourself more distinctive, your personal brand sort of becomes more unique. And so specialize, especially now, because there's so many different things you could tap into. And that's one way that you make yourself unique. So that would be my one point. The other thing I would say is that because a lot of you might be busy moms or you have busy lives and lots going on, I love this quote from Napoleon Hill that says, plan your work and work the plan. Because if you know you have a busy week of doing all of your family stuff and other jobs and whatever else you're doing, you had better be very intentional about planning your week. Otherwise, you'll come to the end of the week and say, I spent no time on my side hustle, on my freelance business because I didn't block out time. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a schedule. And I know life happens. I'm a parent of five kids. I know life happens. But plan out your week, even on a Sunday evening, plan your week out and then work the plan. Each and every day, you've got tasks that you are looking to get done. My tip for you is do something every day. You know, do something every day that will move you. And it might even only be 10 minutes you have. Do something every day that by the end of the week, you could say, I'm a little further in my business than I was 5 days ago or 7 days ago.
I love that. Plan your work and work your plan. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so good. For me, like the one thing, work is easy for me now. Like that's the one thing I want to wake up and do.
Yes.
thing I don't want to do is work out. So how I like, that's my one thing I've got to make sure I put in my plan, and it's the hard thing for me right now. And so I have to do that first thing. I know this about myself. I have to do it first thing. Otherwise I'm not going to do it. I'll make every excuse. Mm-hmm. And so I force myself to do that first before I go work, which is what I want to do. And it's working. It's getting it in. And I like it afterwards. It's just like dragging your feet to get there.
Yeah. But, I have a friend that they just had a baby 3 months ago, and he has two other kids. There's three now. He's a full-time principal at a day job, and he's starting his side hustle, and he gets up at 5 a.m. and he spends from 5 to about 6:15 before the kids arise. And he spends like dedicated time on growing his business. And I'm amazed. I've been working with him. He's a friend, but I've been helping him out for the last 6 months. And I'm like, you have accomplished so much in that 5 o'clock hour because he's
motivated. That's when I built my business.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I think a lot of your audience can relate to that. Like, you need to carve out that time, and you could do amazing things in 1 hour a day. Believe me.
100%. And carve it out, but then follow through and like make that contract with yourself, make that commitment and stick to it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm curious, you know, kind of as we wrap up, if you maybe would just talk a little bit about how you work with people and like where we can find you. Cause I know you've got a lot of awesome skills, training, resources, courses that my community could check out.
Yeah, for sure. So you can visit us at freelanceu, the letter U, freelanceu.com. And there's we have a great blog, a podcast, some free courses you can check out if you're just interested in learning more about what we offer. And then we have a university that has 80 courses across 8 tracks along some of the areas we talked about, such as e-commerce and social media and digital marketing and virtual administration, customer service. So people come to our university because they want to level up their skills to level up their opportunities. And that's why we exist. We're here to help you sharpen your skills, stay current, so that you can make more money, you can land more clients and grow your business. And so definitely come check us out at freelanceu.com. And we'd love to get to know you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Craig, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for sharing more about you and your family and how you guys have built this awesome business and what you've seen working in. I'm super excited to follow along with you guys and continue to partner and collab as it fits to help more people have the freedom and flexibility that freelancing offers.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Michaela. This is a lot of fun.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.